The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity toward God. The Bible says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them." As Christians, we are told we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, let's be clear. The world is not the people of the world. We are not called to be separate from people. The world, as the Bible describes it, is a system that operates against God. It is the world's system. It is the world's moral standards that we are told to be separate from. It is the system that started with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, where he decided he would establish his own rules and way of living. It's the system that led to the world being destroyed by a flood and Noah building an ark under God's instruction. The world's system is what led to Sodom and Gomorrah being judged by God. You see, as believers, we are told that the world will hate us because they have hated Christ, and we are His. However, we are also told that Christ has overcome the world. Therefore, we need not fear the world. So we've established the following. The devil is our common enemy as believers. The world is also our common enemy as believers. I personally believe that our greatest enemy is not the devil. I believe that our greatest enemy is not this world. My dear friends, I submit to you that the greatest enemy that a Christian must face is self. It's the flesh. You can resist the devil and he will flee according to the Bible. We can be in the world but not of the world according to the Bible. Our flesh can be our greatest adversary because we can't separate ourselves from ourselves. The flesh won't flee if you resist it. It will come to tempt you again and again. You can resist your flesh today, but that same temptation will come back to test your flesh tomorrow. And you'll have to resist your flesh once more. Consider this. When the devil wants to tempt you, he predominantly appeals to the flesh. When the world tempts you, it appeals to the flesh. Jesus tells us that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless the flesh, the self, is reborn and recreated into a new self, we will constantly be at battle within ourselves. The Bible tells us that in Christ, we are new creations. Paul describes an elaborate internal battle where the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the things he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing. This intense internal struggle describes not only Paul's experience, but all of ours. We all have this internal struggle within us. We all have this battle between our flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit tries to pull us toward God. The flesh pulls us away from God. The Spirit pulls us toward life. The flesh pulls us toward death. The Spirit is our inner light. The flesh is our inner darkness. The Spirit produces fruit of the Spirit. The flesh produces its various lusts. One of the solutions that the Bible presents is that we must crucify the flesh. What does that mean? One way to look at it is that there are two types of seeds in us. There is a seed of light and a seed of darkness. The seed of darkness is the flesh, and the seed of light is the Spirit. Now, keep in mind that Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The more of Christ you have, the brighter the light in your life. If we feed and water the seed of light, which is your Spirit, it will grow brighter and brighter, and this light will give no place to darkness. However, if we water and feed the seed of darkness, which is our flesh, then the darkness is what will grow. It's the things we watch, the things we listen to, and the company we keep. All of these things determine whether the light of Jesus Christ takes over in your life or the darkness of sin takes over. So, crucifying the flesh really means starving the seed of darkness within you. We must starve the flesh. This means we can't watch everything the flesh may want to watch. We can't listen to everything the flesh may want to listen to. We can't hang out with people that will only feed our fleshly desires and intents. We must starve the flesh. We must starve that seed of darkness that seeks to sin and rebel against God. Now, how can we feed the light? How can we feed the Spirit? Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 tells us, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." This means that the way we feed the Spirit is by diving into the Word of God. The way we feed the light in our lives is through the Word of God. We need to allow the Word to speak to us and flow through us. The Word of God is the best instruction manual when it comes to how we can defeat the devil, the world, and the flesh. As I have stated, our greatest enemy is the flesh because it's an enemy that we have to fight daily. It's an enemy that we have to crucify daily. However, the good news is that we have the tools to subdue our greatest enemy. God has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to defeat the flesh. When you focus on Jesus Christ, when you focus on the Word of God, when you focus on prayer, then the light of Christ inside of you will grow brighter and brighter.
Is it not a scary thought that there are those among us who say the name of Jesus? They stand in praise and worship and sing the name of Jesus. They stand behind the pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have the hat, t-shirt, and shoes to match. And I mean on the outside, they look like disciples. But on the inside, their hearts are far away from the Lord. Isn't it a scary thought that Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So you see, there are people who will look like they are in the church. They will look like they love the Lord. But looks is as far as it goes. There is no substance to them. No real conviction to repent and live their lives for God. So my message to you is that you should make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't be caught up on whether you look good or holy to other people. Instead, be caught up in really living for God. Take note of the events happening in and around this world. Take note of the strange things happening, but keep your focus on developing a deep, meaningful, and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The focus for our lives should be to make sure that our individual relationships with God are in good standing. Saints, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, perilous times will come. The world will be unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, among so many other things. Now, whether these are the last days or not, whether this is the 11th hour or not, you and I as believers need to make sure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can only enter the kingdom of heaven through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, who explicitly said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You and I need to make sure that we are not found to be the ones who the Bible states, "Many will say, 'Lord, Lord, I have done many wonders in your name.' But God will say, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, Don't be in that group of people who are told to depart from the presence of God. Seek Him today while there is still time. So rather than look at each and everything happening in the world and focusing your time and energy with a checklist, focus your time and energy on seeking God. That should be our only focus. To know Jesus, to seek His face, to meditate on His word, to have a right relationship with the Lord. Aim to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because if you don't, then the words, "Depart from me," will be an eternal sentence to the darkness of hell.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.